I understand this is alumni weekend, right? Welcome back to all the alumni who are visiting here. For you who haven't been here, or maybe even for regulars, it may be a little unfamiliar what I just did, put this gospel book right here on a separate throne. Charlie's a little nervous to be serving by himself today, especially when priests do things that he's never seen before. Why are we doing this? Well, Father Chad knows that today Pope Francis has declared the third Sunday in ordinary time from now on will be called Word of God Sunday. Word of God Sunday. Enthroning the gospel book is one way to show reverence for the word. Why did Pope Francis do that? Don't we have the Word of God every Sunday? Why a special day set aside? Are we going to get this feedback the whole time? Can you hear that? I'm hearing it. I don't know if you are. Are you hearing the whistle? I don't want your ears to, or mine for that matter. 13 years ago, 2007, two brothers from St. Paul, Minnesota, college students, Albert and Peter Kottke, decided they would spend their Christmas break from college doing one of their favorite things, which is going backpacking. This time they chose Gila National Forest in New Mexico. Now, even though in the high mountains you can get snow and the temperature can drop below zero at night, nevertheless, it's not Minnesota in January. So these two brothers did a careful plan for their eight-day trip, how much food they would need, what kind of clothing, what kind of emergency preparation, because they're out of cell phone coverage. And then when they got to the park, they registered at the ranger station, as all backcountry hikers must do, what their intended route was going to be. On the first day, we'd go so many miles, camp here, the second day, and then by eighth day, on such and such a day, we expect around so and so that day to hike out and sign out here at the ranger station. So their trip started well enough, and after 7 days in, they were starting to angle their way back toward the ranger station several miles away. Along the Gila River, they heard a sound. It was faint and unfamiliar, so they walked toward the direction of the river, and there on the opposite side of the shore, they saw a figure hunched over on all fours, and they recognized immediately that's a person, and the person's not in good shape. So even though some of the high mountain snows had melted and swollen the river, the two brothers forded across the icy waters to the opposite side of the Gila, and there they found Carolyn Dorn, a 52-year-old woman from South Carolina. Unlike them, she had decided to go hiking alone in the backcountry. But she was also familiar with how to do it. She, in fact, knew enough about foraging wild plants that she knew which roots you could dig up and boil to eat, which kind of foods you could eat, how to get clean water. She had planned a 3-week hike, but she was obviously in extremely poor condition. So the brothers gave her some food that they had, a granola bar or two. They boiled water and then made some ramen noodles, a popular backcountry food, and a little bit of salt in her system and a little bit of carbohydrates, and she was able to perk up a little bit. She was hunched over because if she tried to stand, much less walk, she would have bouts of vomiting, intense pain. She told her story. I had planned a 3-week hike. I registered at the ranger station. And after a few days, I started to wander. Carolyn suffered from depression. She was at one of those places in her life where she didn't know what she was going to do next. So let's just go hike alone and try to sort out my thoughts. And pretty soon she was wandering, she knew not which direction. After 3 weeks, her food ran out. At the same time, the ranger station at the entrance to the trail, realizing she hadn't returned, began sending out a rescue squad to begin looking for her where she said she was going to hike. And they did ever wider circles, and after several days of not finding her, they gave up. She is at best lost, if not worse. They find out, the Kotke brothers, she was 5 weeks alone in the desert by herself. She was drinking water out of the stream. She was eating whatever grass she could find along the way, enough to keep her alive, but not enough to strengthen her. And they realized she needed medical help. But they also realized she was not in a condition to hike 20 miles back to the ranger station. What were they going to do? If one of them stayed with her, then pretty soon they would send out a rescue squad for him too. And you're not supposed to hike alone. So the two brothers decided they would hike out together, leave her with enough food and provisions to make it another couple of days. And as soon as they would get back to the ranger station, they would notify the authorities where to find her. She agreed to this, but before they left her, they gave her a book, something to read, something to take her attention off of her intense suffering. And the Kotke boys said that, yes, as much as the food and the drink that we gave her were able to restore some of her physical health, you should have seen her eyes light up when she received that book. No, don't jump the gun on me. It wasn't a Bible. As it turns out, it was a mystery novel, a piece of fiction written by a guy named Michael Connelly. It's called Chasing the Dime. Didn't matter. It was a word from civilization, something upon which she could focus her attention. And for the next day and a half, the two brothers hiked as far as they could till daylight made them camp one more night. The next day they hiked out to the ranger station. They told the authorities, the helicopter came and picked her up, spent a week in one of the hospitals recovering some of her strength. And she said it was that book which gave her hope. A word. A word from civilization, from people, a connection to humanity. I'm not alone in this depression, in this desert. As it turns out, that book was more apropos than you would imagine. And that's why we have Word of God Sunday. Why? Because what is that book? This book, Chasing the Dime, it tells a story of a guy who one day gets a wrong number, call him on his cell phone. I don't know who that is, but then he puts it down and then he gets another call from another person, the same number, asking. And the guy begins to wonder, who had my phone number before I had this number? And over the course of the book, he's trying to figure out. He figures out there was a woman who had this same phone number and she died. How did she die? And why are these lonely men keep calling for her? So the movie, the book is this, you know, mystery trying to figure that sort of a thing out. But how closely connected it is to Carolyn Dorn's life. They've got this lonely person on the edge of death. Is anyone looking for her? Is anyone connected to her? Is there anything important about finding her? It was this connection which touched her deeply. She saw in the book herself. She read herself in those pages, and she realized that I am not alone in the world. I am connected. People want me, need me. My depression, my loneliness, my aimlessness through life is not all there is. Jesus spent 5 weeks in the desert without food. 40 days, he was hungry. Turn this rock into bread. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from God. Why was Jesus able to nourish himself psychologically, spiritually, even though physically he was starving? It's when he read the scriptures, he saw himself in the book. He learned to recognize himself in the Word of God. Now, of course, we say he was the Son of God, eternal, co-eternal with the Father. We're going to pray the creed in a few minutes here. God from God, light from light. But in his humanness, he had to learn. When he was 12 years old, remember, they found him in the temple, and they said, "Oh, son, did you not know I had to be about my father's business? Well, come on home. We'll talk about it later." And the Gospel of Luke says, he went home with them and grew in wisdom and in grace in the sight of God and men. How could a 12-year-old child grow in wisdom? Jesus, in his humanness, had to learn. He had to learn to study the Word of God, to see himself in it. That I am on the page. The book is not just some dead letter of people who centuries ago have no connection to me. It's a living connection made possible through the Spirit of God. Remember after he rose from the dead and he's walking on his way to Emmaus with those two disciples. It was Easter night. They're leaving Jerusalem on the way to Emmaus. He said, "Why are you so downcast? Oh, we thought this Jesus was going to be our Savior, but we saw him get crucified. Now there's rumors of he's alive. We don't get it." And then Jesus, "Oh, so slow to believe all that the scriptures say." And then the Gospel of Luke says, he opened their minds to understand everything written about him in the Moses and the prophets. Jesus saw in the writings of the Old Testament himself. I see myself in there and it resonates. And that's what I can share with you. We become good ministers of the word when we resonate with the word that we receive. When we ponder on it and we see ourselves in the page. How to better appreciate this power of the word of God to speak our story. That's why Pope Francis says we need a Word of God Sunday to think this through better. We know about the wonders of the Eucharist. Did we ever think about why we put the gospel book on the altar? The connection between book and Eucharist, the same word. It's the word become flesh that we receive his flesh and blood. Before we receive it, we say, "Lord, I'm not worthy." Only say the word. The word. Fortunately for St. Jude and Mata Midi, you've got a good preacher of the word. Father Chad, in my years of teaching in the past decade, he's one of the best preachers that I've graduated out of the seminary. He loves the word. He loves to preach the word. He gets excited about it. It reminds me of a great saying of John Wesley. Ever heard of him? A great Protestant preacher in the early 18th century. "What's your success?" He said, "I set myself on fire in the pulpit and people come to watch me burn. That's what you should want from Father Chad and Father Tom and Father Corey and Father Kubista. And we want to see our priests on fire with the word, that we could tell that what they see themselves in the book, and that gets them all excited. The light goes on in their eyes like it did for Carolyn Dorn, like it did for Jesus on the way to Emmaus. The priest, we see it in him too. And then, yeah, it speaks out of that experience. And then it happens to you. This is not just some lector. He did okay today. No, the word of God is talking to me. What is God? Do I see myself in it? Do I see God speaking? Man does not live by bread, but by this. I think if we have a great zeal for love of the Eucharist, the best way to do that is appreciate the word of God. The more we understand the power of God's word, the greater our love for Jesus in the Eucharist will be.